It's true confession time. And here's my confession. Most of my life, I was a very lazy Catholic. My sisters are here. You can ask them. They'll verify that. Now, don't get me wrong. I never missed Mass on Sunday. Unless, of course, the kids had an out-of-town hockey tournament that we had to go to. I never came late to Mass, unless, of course, we just couldn't get the kids dressed in time. I never left Mass early, unless, of course, there was something important like a piano recital we had to get to. And I never slept through a homily, unless, of course, it was the deacon preaching. Now, I'll save the rest of my sins for the confessional, but there's one big one that I have to tell you about, and that's this. I never did anything about growing in my faith, intellectually or spiritually, because I was always too embarrassed to show my ignorance. I was just too embarrassed to show my ignorance, so I did nothing. And my ignorance was basically founded in a weak faith. Specifically, I just had a hard time believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the second person of the Trinity. No problem believing in God the Father. No problem in believing in God the Holy Ghost. But it was that second person, that God-man named Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Could he really be God also? So I struggled with that, but I did nothing about it. Generally speaking, when it came to my spiritual life, I was asleep at the wheel. I was in neutral gear, and I was switched off. And in the words from today's gospel, I was idle in the marketplace. This gospel today that we read about is another great, wonderful parable from Jesus. In this particular one, he talks about the landowner who had a vineyard and how the landowner would go out into the marketplace and he would hire laborers all day long. Some started work early in the morning, some at noon, some late in the day. But in this parable, he says that they were each paid a fair wage. At that point in time, it was a silver Roman coin called a denarius. That was the going rate for a day's work of wages. And the Roman law required that you paid that laborer at the end of the day for their labor. So this landowner did exactly what he was expected to do. He paid a fair wage. But of course, those that worked for a full day said, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Now, who are these characters in this parable? The landowner is a vivid image of God who acts with unbelievable generosity. The laborers are you and me. Some of us are in the marketplace. Some of us are in the vineyard, but not working too hard. And some are in the vineyard working hard, and they're well on their way to sainthood. The image of the vineyard with the landowner is an old motif used many times in the Old Testament. And it really is basically depicting the Lord cultivating and caring for his people. Where is the vineyard? Yes, of course, it's in heaven. But it's also here and now, right in our own world. It is a beautiful and productive place. It's a place where we can find rest, enjoyment, and good work. Now, let's be clear. This parable is not about social justice. This parable is not about labor relations. This parable is about the generosity of God. More than a daily wage, was not anything that those laborers earned or deserved. And yet they expected more. In our world, when it comes to the grace from God, there's no way we can work hard enough or long enough or do enough to deserve or earn one iota of God's grace. It is a pure and simple gift. Now, this parable has a couple messages. If you were a first century Jew and you were listening to Jesus for the first time, he would basically be saying to you, don't be jealous. When you, the Jews, who the chosen people for centuries have been close to God, are now joined in this vineyard by Gentiles who were invited by me, Jesus, don't be jealous. For you and I in today's world, there's a similar message. Don't be judgmental. When people come into the vineyard who in the eyes of society are last and least in the eyes of the world, but not in God's eyes. Don't be judgmental about that person who doesn't find their faith until the very end of their life, and we've been laboring all through our lives. This parable, like every parable, has, I think, the purpose of asking questions. And so as you read this parable, you just have to ask yourself a couple questions. Where am I? Am I in the vineyard or am I in the marketplace? Am I idle or am I doing God's work? Am I envious of others because they've received God's generosity? And can I do more to invite people into the vineyard, or do I hold it and not share? Going back to my original confession about being a lazy Catholic, there were a lot of people in my life that touched my soul, but there were three people in particular that I have to mention. I'm thankful for a friend of mine who bravely called me out and said, "Why are you so inattentive at Mass? Why are you not inspired by the graces that are happening at that altar? Why are you like not amazed that these are not symbols, but that bread and wine is the true body and blood of Jesus? Why do you not think that physical and spirituality can coexist at the same time in the altar? And why do you think you can go through your life, your spiritual life, without the spiritual food of the altar?" He was hard on me. He asked hard questions, but it was good. The second person in my life that I'm thankful for is a kindly priest who heard my story about my failing belief in Jesus, the second person of Christ, and he goes, "The answer is simple. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to get to know him as a person. I'm going to give you a homework assignment," he said. "Over the next 3 months, I want you to read the Gospel of Mark. Every day, two or three verses, slowly, prayerfully, thoughtfully, spend that time with Jesus." And he said, "When those 3 months are up, you will know Jesus as a person, and your faith will be strong." And you know what? He was right. And lastly, I'm thankful for Deacon Joe Donahoe, who stepped up to me and he put his finger in my chest about 8 years ago, and he said, "You need to pray about being a deacon." And I laughed at him. I said, "No way." In all these cases, someone took a chance on me. They stepped out of their comfort zone and challenged me. They were strong and faithful, and they took their role as savers of souls seriously. And for them, I am forever indebted. So here we sit today, and we have to ask ourselves, are we savers of souls, starting with our own soul? Are we doing the things to get active in the vineyard, or are we lazy Catholics? And not only our own soul, but someone else's soul. So here's the task at hand. Find a family member or a friend who you love dearly and invite them into a life with Jesus in very practical steps. First, if they don't go to Mass, graciously, persistently invite them to Mass. And then talk to them about what's happening on that altar. Share with them a book of saints. Share with them a spiritual reading. Share with them a video from forum.org. And talk about it with them. Include them in your works of mercy. When you visit the sick or visit the poor, take them along. Invite them to Father Brian's Wednesday night RCIA class right here. And say, you're going to learn a whole bunch. Study the Bible with them. Maybe teach them the art of Lectio Divina. Maybe learn it yourself. And pray with them. Because some people don't know how to pray. And together you can walk that journey. But whatever you do, always remember that God exists in the gift form. And if you want God in your soul, you have to give him away. So I'd like to close with one more story of a confession. This story is about a man who spent many years of his life living in the world. He reveled in the pleasures of the flesh. He reveled in the pleasures of honor. He reveled in the pleasures of power. But thanks to the prayers and the labor of his mother and a bishop, he turned it around and he entered into the vineyard. And today we know this man as Saint Augustine. And this is what he wrote in his book entitled Confession. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. You called me, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for you. You touched me, and I burn for your peace. Friends, go forth now and find your Augustine, and may you begin your journey to sainthood together.